Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky, and I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Tuesday, March 20th. This is the first day of spring. I did find it quite humorous that we're getting snow on the first day of spring, but God knows. He knows what we need, and He is in control of it all. Amen. I'm glad He is. If we were in control, some of us would have it blistering hot and others would have it freezing cold, and we'd all be complaining. Matter of fact, that wouldn't change much, would it? We're pretty much complainers as it is. But nonetheless, God's in control, and I'm glad He is, and there's no use complaining about it. Amen. Well, we're going to get ready to move along in the program. We need to go to the Lord in prayer. I do want us to pray for Sister Shauna Gray's mother, Frances. She's been having some difficulties, been in and out of the hospital, and I understand not doing real, real well right now. I want to especially pray for her, and I pray that God would bless and help and meet the needs that are there. And then Brother Wayne Henderson, preacher friend that we know, understand, had a heart attack sometime back, has had some stents put in, is now out of the hospital doing better, and we're grateful for that, but we want to keep him in our prayers as well. And one another, Brother Bob Gish, we haven't heard anything from him in a while, and I want to be praying for him, the Lord touch and help and meet his needs. And then, of course, our upcoming services tomorrow night at the Lord's house here, our midweek prayer service, I want to pray for that as well. So if you will, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I love You. Thank You for the privilege to pray. Thank You, dear God, for the power that is in prayer. Father, I thank You that we've seen and heard so many times of You answering prayer requests. And I'm grateful for that, Lord. And I pray, Father, You'd intervene now on behalf of these folks that were mentioned. I pray for Frances Williamson, that You'd touch her, dear God, and You'd meet her need, Lord, and just strengthen and help and do that that's necessary and needful there. Father, I pray that You would be with those that are surrounding there, the family members and those involved. Would You encourage and help them as well? For Brother Gish, for Brother Henderson, Lord, would You touch them and strengthen them, helping our upcoming services? And please, use this broadcast to bring You glory. I pray, dear God, that You'd send forth the Spirit of God to convict the lost, to draw them to the Savior, that they might be saved by Your grace. We'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, I do appreciate you praying with us. We're going to get ready to move into the message today from Job chapter number 3. But before we do, we've got two songs here. We've got the first song by our church choir, singing a song that we sing usually around Easter time. This has been the first day of spring. I thought it'd be a good time to be thinking about the fact that Christ got up from the grave. Amen. And this is our congregation singing, He Arose. And then after that, we've got the Shepherd family singing, How Great It Is to Serve a Living God. Hope these songs be a blessing to you. In our Bible reading for this week, we're going to be in Job chapter number 1, verse number 8. Just reading the first part of that sentence. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? I've been preaching a series that I've entitled Considering Job. We have looked at several cases and several instances in the life of Job. We looked at Job's warfare. We looked at Job's wounding. And we looked at Job's witness and Job's waiting. In Job chapter number 1, verse 22, the Bible says, In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And just last week finished up looking at Job's waiting. Now we're going to look at Job's wondering. Look at chapter number 3, Job chapter 3 and verse 23. Now let me say, as you're finding your place there, that Job's three friends came to comfort him. We've looked at the affliction that happened to Job chapter 1, and then the second affliction that happened to Job more personally, more intimately in his flesh, in chapter number 2. At the end of chapter number 2, Job's three friends came to comfort him. But rather than comforting him, they found themselves there at the end of chapter 2, only staring blankly at him for 7 days and 7 nights without speaking a single word to him. It was as if their words of comfort had been stripped away from their vocabulary. Thus, Job began to speak for himself in chapter number 3. Now, there's a question that arises. He asks numerous questions. But in verse number 23, his mouth is filled with extreme bitterness and anguish. And he asks this question, why is light given to a man whose way is hid and whom God hath hedged in? I want to read that again because that's the theme we're going to be looking at this week. Why is light given to a man whose way is hid and whom God hath hedged in? Now, on yesterday's broadcast, we began looking at 3 points. I mentioned 3 points about this question. The question Job asked, why is light given to a man whose way is hid and whom God hath hedged in? I said we were going to look at the case that caused the question, the cause that raised the question. Then we're going to look at the question itself, and we're going to then look, thirdly, at some answers that might be given to the question. Now, we started yesterday looking at the case that caused the question. I said that when men are under such deep depression and gloom, Job wondered, why did God allow them to continue living? When life didn't seem worth living, why do they continue to live? In Job's case, that's where he was. He did not want to live. He would rather pass on. He felt as if life was useless. Life was worthless. And why did God keep him alive? You see that Job, first of all, in this, the cause is that Job could not see the reason for his trouble. He said his way was hid. You see that? There in verse number 23. He said, why is light given unto a man whose way is hid? God was hiding the reason from Job. Job had walked uprightly. Job had not sinned. If he had sinned, he could have understood the punishment. And by the way, it would almost have been relief if Job had known that this was punishment. It was just punishment. It was proper punishment for his deeds. But it wasn't. Job hadn't sinned. Job hadn't charged God foolishly. Job hadn't sinned before this affliction came upon him. And Job hadn't sinned since this affliction came upon him. So he couldn't find a fault with him. And so why was he being afflicted? That was his question. Now, let me say today that even the devil himself, who kept a very sharp lookout, I mean, he was like a detective. He had the magnifying glass on Job's life with a malicious eye. He was looking to try to find some fault, but he could find no fault whatsoever that he could charge Job with. Amen. Amen. Job deserved the character that God had given to him when God gave the testimony. Amen. Satan insinuated, he said, doth Job serve God for naught? Job, the devil seemed to insinuate that Job was serving God out of interested reasons. In other words, he was getting something out of it. When God said, consider, hast thou considered my servant Job? Well, that question that Satan asked God, doth Job fear God for naught, always seemed to be a very crafty and slick one, yet really a very foolish question. Because if it had been proved that Job had feared God or served God for nothing, then the devil would have said all at once that God was a bad master. He'd say, you're not even giving him a reward for serving you. Amen. But now he sees God is rewarding him. He sees that God has put a hedge around Job, that he sheltered him on every side. And so he says, well, Job's only pious because he found it profitable. He could find no other fault in him. And even that accusation was untrue. Job was not serving God just because what he's getting out of it. Amen. Matter of fact, we'll see. Job served God even when he didn't see any good coming out of it. Job served God even when it seemed as if God had turned against him. And yet Job continued on serving God. Amen. Job, on his part, remembered the good deeds that he had done. He talked about how that he had fed the widow, how he had succored the fatherless, how he had acted justly, honestly towards his fellow creatures in the midst of an unjust generation, and how that amidst a mass of idolaters, Job worshiped God and God alone. He didn't try to worship God and Baal or God and these other gods, false gods. Amen. Job never kissed his hand in adoration to the moon. as the moon walked her shining way in her queenly brightness, nor did he bow himself down to the host of heaven, as nearly everybody around him had done. No, Job stood alone, or at least almost alone, in that age, as a true and a faithful servant of Jehovah God. And yet his sorrows were multiplied. His trials were multiplied. Job could see no reason why these troubles had come upon him. It was not that Job was calling God into question. As you look at these texts, he's not calling God into question, but he's just saying, what's the use of life? Why does life continue when it seems to be a continual problem? Amen. Job remembered the good things that he had done. Job remembered that he had not sinned, and yet troubles kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. You know, friend, that's often one of the great aggravations of our troubles, is that we don't know why they come. Amen. Have you ever had problems arise in your life? Perhaps it's a physical problem. Perhaps it's a family problem or a financial problem or church problem. You have problems arise in your life and you say, Lord, why? Why did this happen to me? I'm trying to serve God. I'm faithful to church. I pay my tithes. I read my Bible. I try to live a Christian life. I try to tell others about Jesus. I try to worship the true and living God. Why does this have to happen to me? You ever felt that way? Amen. We are often, our aggravation is aggravated even more when we don't understand why our troubles come. A man, if he has a sickness, usually wants to know the nature of his disease so he can, you know, wonder why, how he came to be attacked by that disease. When you see a person suffering, we generally say, where did you catch that cold? Or what was it that brought on that congestion, for example? We always like to know the cause of the complaint. Well, Job wanted to ascertain the reason for his trouble. Now, he was not demanding that reason from God. I want to make that clear. I believe it is sin to demand that God reason with us. Job wasn't doing that, but he was just saying to these other men, this does not make sense to me. That was really what he was saying. Why these things have come upon me and why they continue. Job looked for a reason, but he could not find it. And it added to his grief. Amen. It made his troubles all the more mysteriously grievous. And therefore he asked, why do I continue to live when I have come to such darkness as this? He asked the question there, why is light given to a man whose way is hid and whom God hath hedged in? He said, I cannot see. Well, let me say, not only was it hid, we see that he didn't know why that it came to him, but also he was hedged in. He says that, uses that phrase. And that means where could he go? He didn't know what to do. It seemed to be that there was nothing he could do. He was stripped of all his earthly possessions. Gone. Gone. What's he going to do? His family. Gone. What's he going to do? His health. Gone. What's he going to do? Well, he's sitting in ashes. And those ashes that he sat, or where he sat, had formed an uncomfortable couch. It was all the property that remained to him, those ashes and a potsherd, and he scraped his sore boils in his desperation with that piece of potsherd. What could he do in such a case as this? There was no physician there to cure him. Amen. There was nobody there that could answer. Now, true, there were his three friends, but all they could do, or at least all the best thing they did do, was to sit still and say nothing. Now, later we're going to see they do open their mouths. And when they open their mouths, it's only to pour vinegar into his wounds to increase his agony tenfold. What could poor Job do under such circumstances? He was helpless. Amen. And his very helplessness, I believe, tended to increase his wretchedness. Let me ask you, somebody out there listening today to the broadcast, am I speaking to someone that this is the case you find yourself in? You're in this very kind of perplexity. You're moaning, I don't know why I'm where I'm at, and I don't know where to turn. I've done everything I can think of, and I cannot honestly tell what's going to happen next. I sit in darkness. I see no light. Is that your testimony? You may question, why am I brought to this place? I cannot tell. I cannot see the reason for it. I can't make out how I came to this place. If I could get light to see some greater grievous fault that's brought me to where I am, I would understand it. But I'm in darkness. I'm in darkness as thick as the Egyptian darkness that could be felt. And I don't know what to do. You may ask the question, why does a man continue to live when his way is thus hidden, when his way is thus hedged about? Well, if that's how you feel, you're in the very same plight that Job, the patriarch, was in when he uttered these mournful questions that formed our text. Amen. I'll tell you something else that's worse in Job. Not only he couldn't see a reason why, and he could not see what he could do. The third thing, Job could see no way out of his trouble. God had hedged him in, not with a hedge of roses, but with a barrier of briars, a hedge of thorns. Wherever he tried to go, whatever he tried to do, he found himself obstructed in doing it. And he found himself pricked even more and prodded even more. Friend, there are men right now in this world whose sorrows are more grievous because everything they do to try to alleviate their pain only increases their pain. All the efforts that they try to do to help themselves are fruitless. Amen. They're like men that have been entangled in quicksand. They say to me, the more you thrash about in it, the quicker you sink. The more you struggle to get out, the deeper you descend. You ever felt that way with your trouble? There are men that strive to their very uttermost, but all in vain. They rise up early. They sit up late. They eat the bread of carefulness mingled with tears. But there's a blight on all they do. Everything they do seems to end in trouble. Nothing prospers with them. They're at their wits' end, and they begin to cry, oh, that I had never been born. Would rather that I'd never been born to have been born into such trouble as this. Why is light given to a man whose way is hid and whom God hath hedged in? I believe that's the case of Job's question. He asked the question, and we shouldn't wonder that he did. Amen. Because you see, the sorrowful condition, the very sad condition of heart and mind that he was in. Amen. Amen. Well, I tell you, when I read this, and I'm getting ready to go to the next point, but I don't have time to deal with it, so I'm gonna have to close right here. But when I see Job in this sad case, and I think of the sad cases of others, it makes my heart cry, Lord, have mercy on those servants. Lord, send a little relieving. Give them maybe a space of repentance. Maybe give them just a little place of refreshing. And friend, you can call unto God, and he may very well help you. Thank you for listening. And that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. Hope you'll tune in this same time every Monday through Friday for another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. Until then, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying good day. And God bless you.